GoDaddy. So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have a new small business idea and you want to sell something online. Or maybe you just want to show off your photography. Well, GoDaddy, that's the place. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. So what are you waiting for? GoDaddy, get your website started today. You go to GoDaddy.com and you enter the promo code STORY at checkout or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website.
Hi, this is Jackie Cation, and happy anniversary. Story-worthy, happy anniversary.
Welcome to the Story-Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Speckled Hen Inn Bed and Breakfast on Portage Road in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a luxurious, romantic local getaway.
Now, is this somewhere you and Jackie Cation would like to go to? Is this what you're talking about?
No, I just her topic is romantic advice, and as always, everything in the world relates to Wisconsin in my sick little mind. Ergo, we are at the Speckled Hen Inn Bed and Breakfast.
Well, you know what?
Madison, Wisconsin, actually, where Jackie and I did both go to college.
Yeah, so it's actually perfect because you're both from that area, and perhaps maybe she even knows of it.
Yes, so her romantic advice, right?
Exactly. Romantic advice is the topic tonight brought to us from Jackie Cation. And this is a perfect topic for our – are you ready for this, Hannes?
Yes.
It's our third-year anniversary.
Woo! Listen to the crowd.
Listen to the crowd. I think we'll insert some bells in
you
here.
Suck.
Maybe a horn. Maybe not that.
Blast too loud. Hannes is an asshole.
Anyway – Hey, listen, Hannes, we get a lot of good emails. It's just every once in a while, people just like to dig in. I don't know what makes them do that.
It's the fact that they're protected by their computers and they're anonymous and they like to be mean to people.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so. I'm not sure. Anyway, okay, romantic advice. We'll go back to that. My family never did give me any advice. They may have, now that I think of it, but of course I didn't listen. For instance, when I was 19 years old and I started dating, I was in college and I started dating the 31-year-old musician who played guitar in our campus Rathskeller. Did you guys have a Rathskeller, Hannes?
I went to the University of Wisconsin. Of course we had a Rathskeller.
Okay. Well, nobody said, hey, Christine, maybe, this guitar player, 31 years old, is after more than just your brilliant 19-year-old mind. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe he just wants your vajayjay. Nobody said that.
Right. Well, first of all, because nobody said vajayjay when you were 19. But I get the point. But you had a mom and four older sisters.
Exactly. Somebody could have said something, so nobody said anything, at least that I remembered. And I was super flattered. He was giving me attention. And I thought, like, I was pretty hot stuff to attract a guy in his 30s. He took me – you remember this? He took me to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And he would buy me strawberry daiquiris.
Classy.
So classy. And then I literally married this guy. 1 year later, he got another girl pregnant. So I'm just saying, couldn't anybody have said anything?
I know. That was really dropping the ball as far as somebody should have said, listen, you realize he's only going out with you because you're 19 and you're –
Well, I married him. In other words, not just that I dated him, but then we got married and you guys all
this
stood around and
said,
oh,
Midwestern
this is great.
This is where the whole Midwestern stoicism thing kind of is a problem because people are like, well, you know, you have to live their own lives.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if my daughter...
Mother should have slapped you, basically.
So
when you came home and said, I'm going to marry a guy who's 31 and I'm 19, she should have slapped you. And well, maybe you would have listened after that.
Yeah,
but she didn't even bother.
All right. Now, I was only – but when I married him, I was like 25. So we were together for a while. Anyway, listen. Yeah. Here's the problem about the advice in my family because one time my sister did give me some advice. Okay, mm-hmm. This was my oldest sister. Now, at the time, I was living with this guy in a cabin for the summer in Colorado. Okay?
Classy.
The guy is a coke addict. The guy will never come home when he says he will. He would be 2 hours late, 3 hours late, 5 hours late. Like I was forever worried about him thinking he was in some sort of either hiking accident or a car accident or he was on the bottom of the lake. So anyway, He's chronically late because he's a cokehead and he's off doing coke and making deals and driving around. He's paranoid.
Yeah, I like the irony of a cokehead in a hiking accident.
I know, right?
Like, that seems like an unlikely combination to me. That's... unless he just hikes off the edge of a cliff.
You know, it's very funny.
Like
Roadrunner. Go up in the back of his pickup. I mean, I would do it with him too. We'd snort coke and one of us would drive. And this is like Trail Ridge Road, okay? Rocky Mountain National Park. This is where the cliffs are like, you know, you're at like 13,000 feet or at least 12,000 feet. Anyway, and one of us would drive. One of us would be in the back of the pickup, you know, after we'd do, you know, coke at the rest stop. You know, it was just... Anyway, the point
How ironic,
is,
the rest
is that my
stop.
Sister comes, okay? My sister comes that summer to visit, okay? She's with her husband. And she tells me that the reason why he's not coming home on time is my problem. It's because what was I making him look forward to? I was just being whiny and being a baby. She said I needed to wear sexier clothes. I needed to wear lingerie. I needed to greet him sensually when he came home to the cabin.
Ew.
She said I should put little notes around the cabin. Like, for instance, she said, like, on the Ritz crackers, I should put a note that says, let's put on the Ritz and go dancing tonight.
23 Skidoo.
Like, forget the fact that we're in a cabin with no water. She says, you should put a little note on the teddy bear that says, I can't bear to be without you. Or why don't you just write him a check out for a million kisses? This is her advice.
Yeah, so actually you dodged a bullet with the earlier guy because the advice would have been worthless.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute, but hasn't this woman been married for like 30 years?
That sister's been married a long time. Yeah, same person.
See, maybe are we the assholes?
You know what,
is she
honest?
Right?
Every time I think I'm right,
no,
I turn around and I'm wrong. So I don't give any advice anymore because A, nobody listens.
This is my entire advice.
If somebody wants advice, if they ask you, hey, you know, I hear that you're doing a podcast. I was wondering, what kind of microphone do you use? Then I would say,
but that's not advice.
Me use a microphone? I go to Sean Merrick at Sideshow Network.
No.
He worries about the microphone.
That's a fact. That's not advice. When people, nobody can be talked out of anything and nobody can solve their problems except themselves. Absolutely not. People are like, oh, you know, I have your, and, you know, this is why I just don't tell people things. It's like, look. You're going to – people told me things that I was doing wrong, and it never mattered until I realized I was doing it wrong. And that's just the way human beings are.
You just have to get older, and youth is wasted on the young. Am I right?
It is.
Who said
so
that?
So is all the sex. They don't know what they're doing.
But no, that's youth only because you've been in a long-term relationship. I don't think it's necessarily an age thing. The sex.
No, I'm saying by the time you have developed your sexual technique, nobody wants to fuck you anymore.
I
exaggerate for comedic effect.
Okay.
Plenty of people want to fuck everybody in this room.
Wow.
There's dozens of people in this room. They're all so fuckable.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
on that note, I did want to mention that Storyworthy folks, I mean, speaking of advice.
Speaking of fuckable, make your way to the speckled hen in bed and breakfast in Madison, Wisconsin.
Take a zucchini with you.
Yes. By the way, Christine, I guess, grew these zucchinis and gave them to everyone.
Yes,
and
Hollis, then garden.
Jackie comes in. The only person who hasn't put their zucchini away is me. So I'm sitting here. I have a Del Taco bag, a computer, and a zucchini. And she looks at me and she's like, nice zucchini. Like, what? Like, I'm a psychotic for carrying a zucchini around, which is what it looks like because I'm the only one without zucchini.
You know, it's funny.
Speaking about zucchini.
It's funny when
you go to the speckled hen in bed and breakfast and take your zucchini out.
Gardens are funny. It's like you have nothing or you have more than you could ever eat.
It's like the lemon trees out here. People don't understand that the reason there's lemon on fucking everything in California is that every person with even the tiniest garden has a lemon tree growing, and there's more lemons than you can shake. There are lemons rotting in the streets. People are giving – they come to your house. They're like, here's a bag of 75 lemons. And you're like, what am I going to do? I might have one. Give me two lemons.
I will say
this. I'm never
going
to get to lemon 63.
Okay. With my daughter, we make lemonade frequently, and that's 15 lemons right there.
Okay.
B, I do like the fact in California that the citrus is so good that people, like at my daughter's school, that if they have extra in their yard, they'll take a bag of citrus and they'll just put it, there's like a free fruit area. You can just go take fruit.
No, right.
Leave
and
fruit,
that's nice, except that they're
pickle,
not doing it because they're so generous. They want to get it out of their goddamn yard.
Well, anyway, I brought you a zucchini.
Thank
Jesus
you.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Storyworthy is an official selection in the LA Podfest this year. It's happening.
That is very hard to believe considering
October
we've suddenly gone into citrus.
4th through the 6th.
Off of the.
October 4th through the 6th in Santa Monica. And for more information, including the other podcasts that'll be, you go to lapodfest.com. That's where it's at.
LAPodFest.com.
That's right. Also, we want to mention that you can follow us on Twitter. We all tweet now. I think that's...
We tweet. I'm trying to tweet
really
more. It's working.
It's
yeah, everybody's
going.
Tweeting. It's a whole thing. And I'm sure that means since you and I are tweeting, that means it's over for the kids.
I think Facebook is taking a turn. I'll say that.
Facebook has become the ego dumping ground of the baby boomer generation.
Yeah.
Who think that every shit that they take is very important.
I don't know. Anyway, folks, thanks so much, though, for following us on Twitter. Also, liking us on Facebook. No
like us
what
on the Facebook.
Thinks.
Hey, we're in the tail end of the baby boomer generation, and we will take it.
That's right. All right, you guys. So we have a great guest tonight. Jackie Cation's here, Hannes.
Jackie Cation, who I've known not since the first grade. She is our second, let's see, Evan Gore I've known since the first grade. So Jackie I've known since college. So she is my second oldest known person on the show, if that's
am
a category.
I think that's exciting.
Nope,
not
yet.
Quite. All right, you guys. So this is
still
exciting.
Still not on the air. Jackie is so anxious to get on the air.
All right, you guys, this is exciting. Wherever you are. An hour and a half, but now it's only seconds away, so stay
it's seconds away,
tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Next week on Storyworthy, we have comedian Tony Tripoli.
I'm going to tell the story about the time I shit my pants, and if you think you don't have a story about when you shit your pants, you're lying.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
This is Rick Overton, and both you and I are listening to Storyworthy.
We have gone out for dinner from the bed and breakfast to the Essen House on Wilson Drive. This is genuine Northern German cuisine because nothing says romance like Northern Germany.
Is it like Rindsruladen and Jäger Schnitzel?
Oh, there's a lot of Braten. There's there's Jäger Schnitzel. There's a lot of very romantic sausages hanging from the ceiling.
Apple strudel at the end. That's where they. That's how they
apple
hook
strudel
you.
Is like I believe the fortune cookie.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of an Americanized idea. Like, there's no fortune cookies in Germany, and there is apple strudel in Germany, but it's not a big thing.
Hmm.
Like, here, we're like, everybody must eat apple strudel every fucking day in Germany and Austria. It's like, no, they don't.
They don't. What do they eat? Chocolate.
Chocolate they have. They are
Meisterbrow.
Not. Their desserts are not nearly as sweet as ours.
Hmm.
You have, like, some of the Schwarzwaldkuchen,
would
which
you
is
please
Black
quit
Forest.
Spitting
yeah.
on the microphone,
Black Forest
Hannes.
Cake, that's good stuff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, she's here right now, Jackie Cation. She is a stand-up comedian that tours extensively. Recently, she was on the Conan O'Brien show. Did
Yay.
You see that, Hannes?
Yes, I did.
That was so damn exciting.
I was excited.
It's fantastic. She's also the creator and the host of the very popular podcast, The Dork Forest. And you know, Hannes, the people that follow her, they're called the Rangers, the Dork Forest Rangers.
Are they?
I love that. Jackie's most recent CD is called It's Never Going to Be Bread. For everything Jackie, you go to JackieCation.com. That's convenient. Or you can follow her on Twitter, and that's at Jackie
She does.
Jackie
she puts out a lot
Cation.
Of the tweets. She does tweeting the right way. She, like, thinks of a joke, and then she puts it out there. And
Chatty Magoo.
Ladies
Chatty
and
Magoo,
gentlemen,
you.
Wherever you are, put your hands together for Jackie Cation.
Chatty Magoo!
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. How the heck are you? Okay. You tighten this right up. You do that. Here's so Storyworthy. It's your third anniversary. You asked me what I wanted to talk about. I said romance. Romantic advice, I guess, is what is the takeaway on this. And Hannes was talking about being a comic. My mother died about a year ago. Hilarious. Hilarious, first of all. Second of all. Also Woo! Full of love. My stepmother of 40 years passed away about a week ago. I don't know, 10 days from when this will drop, and I had lunch with her 3 weeks before she died. I had lunch with her on July 4th, 2012. And my husband and I drove down from Minneapolis to have lunch with her on the 4th of July. And that's what we did. We drove down. We had lunch with her. She and my father had been divorced for 15 years. And you can see my published works for the longest of all stories about that. But she's not good with men. She's never been good with men. And my father is not particularly – He's a bad boyfriend. He's a bad boyfriend. He's not a good husband. He's a funny guy. Funny guy, right? So they get married when I'm 8. She is my stepmother. She is my stepmother forever. She raises me. I'm the youngest of 6. She's never wanted children. She never hides the fact that she's never wanted children. But she wants to do a good job because she loves my dad. So my dad, he's around a little. He's around a little. He lets her do it, lets her raise us. And then she eventually finds out he's been having a lot of affairs. And so he has to they part ways. And then she comes to my wedding. 7 years ago now. And then they see each other 6 months later. And then she can't see him anymore. She's like, I'm done. I can't see him anymore. And I say, fair enough. And she has cut everybody off. She's cut off her own family. The one sister, Pam, the only one I really liked, is the best of it. She's the one I've only kept in touch with. And then she cut off my brothers and my sister. And one of my brothers and my sister have tried to keep in touch with her. I'm the only one who never gave up. We call her every 4 or 5 weeks. How's it going, Nance? How's it going? What's going on? What's going to happen? And she's like, oh, yeah, there you are. And so we would talk. And then I would come into town. And so about a couple of years after I got married, she said, I can't go to these family events that involve your father. I'm just – because she loved him so much and wanted everything to be right for him. And he was not good at it. He isn't good at it. He is very thoughtless. He can do the right thing if reminded consistently. If you tell him a lot over and over again, this is what real people do. They call their kids on their birthdays. No, no. Oh, sorry. That didn't stick. Maybe I'll remind you again next year. So he's just not good at it. And so Nancy, but still obsessed with him. But here's the thing. The last 7 years of her life, she went out with a guy that named Bob. Bob, nicest guy in the world. We're out to lunch. Me, my husband, Nancy, and Bob. And for 15 minutes of that lunch, she talks about my dad in front of Bob. And we leave, and Andy says, Bob's a nice guy. You talk about another guy in front of me for 15 minutes. I'm not psyched. I'm not on board. And so the thing about Bob, my father has always said that Nancy dated Bob because they were both, Bob and my dad were in a card game that now he can't go to. And there's part of me that's like, you go, Nancy. Fucking ruin that game for him. Yeah. Ruin it with every fiber of your being. And so she passes away unexpectedly, July 25th of last year. We don't know. We don't know why. Some sort of spleen, internal organ failure. And she'd been ill off and on for the last 10 years or so. And my dad likes to say in the last year, you know, I'm going to die. Said it almost immediately. I was like, well, it's good of you to make it about you almost immediately, Dad. That's good. Recently he has said to me, you know, I'm carrying a cane now. And I said, are you using it? And he goes, no, I don't need it, but I'm carrying a cane. And but here's the thing about stand-up comics is that it's just a parade of Asperger's victims. That's all we are. We're just one Asperger's victim after another fighting a wind of autism that is blowing us towards autism. So on the 25th of last January, of last July, my mother passes away. I come back. I go up to a bunch of comics, and I know one of them pretty well, and he goes, how's it going? I said, well, my mom just died. I was just at the funeral. And a guy I don't know very well says, oh, is she at that Batman movie in Aurora? 4 days after both events, wrong from absolutely every angle, ever, and I could not stop laughing because it's wrong. And Nancy would have laughed because my father had taught me timing. My father taught me, he's taught me a lot about stand-up comedy and about the business and about all these different things. Nancy Kashian taught me funny. Nancy Kashian, she taught me to appreciate smart funny. She taught me to appreciate well-written jokes, and she was my mother, and I miss her. So that's my story. Thanks.
Awesome.
So she took your dad's last name then?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Her name, Nancy Putz.
Putz, P-U-T-Z.
That's it. Why wouldn't you take Cation? Why wouldn't you move on?
Yeah, I would move on from
Putz. I would do Cation in a minute.
Because I would be pronouncing it Putz all day long. By the way, Jackie's a professional wearing the headphones, and we are just...
I like headphones for certain things. No,
it's sweaty.
It doesn't matter. It's all, everybody's
different. But I just want to say, I believe that when we... Now, Jackie and I went to college together. We both worked at the same club.
That's where we started doing stand-up.
Right, I know.
Bill Kinnison, right? Well, I'm just reminding people who probably did not take notes when they heard this 4 years ago.
3 or 4 years ago.
But I know. We'd like to think that it's just embedded in their brains. But I think people have probably forgotten
this. South
Milwaukee. Anyhow, but no, but this was in Madison.
Madison, Wisconsin,
so the club
1984.
Was in Madison. But I believe that I actually, didn't I meet your mother once?
Yes,
the
you did.
The only member of your family you ever?
Russell. You met Russ because we rode in the car with him back to Milwaukee.
I have no memory
One of your
of
older
that.
Brothers.
He remembers that. The youngest of my older brothers who also went to Madison, who is the bossiest of all Magoos.
Interesting.
Holy smokes, that guy. He picked all of my first semester classes when I went to Madison. He picked fifth semester Latin. He's like, you're going to get a lot of retro credits. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to get a C. That's what's going to happen. And then I'm not going to get retro credits.
Wow.
And then I'm going to have to take French a lot.
That's extremely...
All of your siblings go to the funeral?
My brother Terry, here's what happened. Is in the night, I got a call from my Aunt Pam, who lives down Huntington Beach. And she goes, Nancy's in the hospital. She's very, very ill. She's fallen... they don't think that it's... And I was like, holy shit. And my husband's dad had just passed away April 1st.
Not from a spleen thing.
No, he had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh,
and
my
it
goodness.
Was 10 months and every... And so
did he die at a baseball game?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not.
He was hit in the head by a baseball at a Dodger game. That would have been... I'm sorry. I'm just trying to go with the whole Aurora thing.
You know,
I'm trying to get in with the bad joke thing.
Didn't we just establish
we just covered the entire...
It's good, though.
No, it's exactly...
Okay.
Asperger's... You know what? By the way, that is one of the most... Seriously, it's one of those brilliant analysis of comedians I've ever heard. Asperger's fighting against Alzheimer's. That is exactly
autism.
What comedian...
Okay.
Autism.
No, wait.
Yes,
I know.
Exactly.
I want to hear this. So you get the call. Did you get... You didn't get home in time.
No, I didn't. I didn't get home in time because she had passed away by 5 a.m. So
it really... Yeah. That says internally, like a spleen thing. It really is odd.
Well, she'd gotten I think her appendix out, and there had been complications, and she had had infection a lot. And then so... It was, and she had been ill off and on for the last 20 years. So,
right.
And she was very thin and very frail. But Bob, had, you know, when we saw her 3 weeks earlier, she had a lot more energy. She was getting better.
So,
and it was so. You're
obviously touched by it. I mean, obviously, it hasn't even been a full year yet.
This woman means a lot more to you than your dad, who is still making everything about himself.
Of course, and when he dies, and he talks about it all the time now, it's gonna
I think
be
your dad's
horrible.
Like Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now. He's the one guy who never gets shot. Nothing ever blows up. He's going to live to be 150 years old.
That's it exactly about my dad. And but her funeral was one of the dumbest things I ever went to in my life, because she is the middle child of five.
Yeah.
She has three sisters and a brother, and her brother lives close to her, and he hadn't talked to her in 6 months, you know, since forever. And I was like, because I'd be like, how's Uncle Greg? And she's like, hey, he's all right. I think I saw him at Christmas or Easter or something like that. Like, they would go and hang out.
They all lived in the same area, though?
Two of her sisters she didn't speak to at all.
So what was wrong with... So these are the people that put on her funeral, as
it
were?
Right, and they did not include us at all.
But they don't know her, and then they didn't even include you, her children.
At all. And so
that's
we lasted...
That's too bad.
What I think is I lasted at her funeral as long as she would have.
Yeah. How long was that? Like under a couple hours?
It was until her sister, who has been ordained as a minister, got up to talk about Jesus a lot.
Yeah, and then you're out.
My stepmother was a lapsed Catholic. Capital L. Had not been to the Catholic Church in probably 20 years.
So, okay, but that's interesting because a lot of Catholic women, they get more and more Catholic. You know, like my mother,
right.
They get more
like
and more Catholic.
Nancy was smart. And smart people don't
get
back.
Yeah, well, she had a sense of humor.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to go back to this fantasy as I'm dying.
Well, one of the greatest things about Nancy Cation is, like, some people will talk to their moms, right? And the first 5 minutes of their conversation with the moms, it's all, hey, things are great. How are you? How's it going with you? And they'll ask you about yourself, and they'll do all this stuff, and it's good. If you're on the phone with them more than 10 or 15 minutes, it deteriorates into complaining and sadness.
Oh, yeah.
And grim.
You have to keep it short. You really do. But let me ask you this.
Nancy was exactly the opposite.
Oh, you wanted to have an extended conversation. conversation.
Right, because the first 15 minutes was all pissing and moaning, and then it was
hilarious.
Then she
got to the good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, then it was what she was reading, what she was watching on television, what funny things were going on in the politics.
Well, I was going to ask you what she was good at, because you said she wasn't good with men, she wasn't good with children.
No, my father, there were six, we had six kids, right? My dad, when they were dating, my mom still had us. And we all lived, the six of us, in a two-bedroom apartment in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a little factory town, very glamorous, welfare. And then my mom died, and my dad got us all back. And Nancy told me that she didn't know he had six kids.
Wow.
She knew that he was married, by the way.
Yeah.
She knew that.
She stuck around. That's unbelievable. Your dad's skills must be tremendous. Here's two things
that a lot of people don't think about. First of all, she knew he was married when they were dating and living
together. And how old was she at that time?
26. He was 35.
Okay.
My oldest brother was 17.
If only your sisters had been there to give her some advice, Christine. Oh, wait. That wouldn't have done any good at all.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something. Hannes Finney and I dated in college.
Yes. Okay, then. No, I didn't hear that.
Huge reveal.
Wow. This is exciting.
He was my first and only boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah. You were my first and only boyfriend.
Wow.
I could not.
The only part makes me think I either did such a good job no one could follow me, or I did such a horrible job you went, this is not worth
it. Wait, are you talking about in college, your first and only
boyfriend?
Ever? What do you mean, ever? What do you mean?
Prior to that, all I did was read.
I see.
I was a bit of a spooky reading girl during junior high and high school.
Wait a minute, you guys.
Duh.
We're getting back on topic.
Hot.
What did...
And well played. Well
how
played,
long
sir.
Did you guys date? It was
a year and a half.
A year and a half.
Of which I could not have been meaner to him. While I thought to myself, this isn't going to work, because we were comics, right? We had started doing open mic together.
Yeah.
I was the youngest 19-year-old you've ever met in your life. Like the bartender.
Yeah. By the way, I have no memory of you being mean to me because I was so unaware of the concept that anyone in the world was supposed to be nice to me.
Right.
So whatever you were doing probably seemed like that's how people
person,
talk to each other.
Right. And the nicest person who had been like, we were the biggest mess in the world because we were comics. We had no social skills.
Yeah.
Your mom was so mean to me the one time I met her.
Is that
was
right?
She? I don't recall that.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's how your mom, you were like, oh, that's how people are.
You mean because they're German? Because she was German?
No. I'm not making a sweeping statement against Germans.
No, but her mother, his mother specifically.
I was about to describe her death, but go ahead and first insult her, and then I'll describe her death.
Wait a minute.
I don't recall.
His death. Her death. That bit about her death is hilarious.
Yeah, because it's all completely
true.
Super
dark. And as
you said, I mean, you know, I just have to say it again when, you know. You know, oh, you got a call from your aunt that somebody was sick, and I got a call from a guy in the hospital at 4 in the morning, said, quote, your mother is dead. That is exactly...
Because nobody else spoke English.
From Germany. This is the best they could... No, I was in Germany.
Oh, you were in Germany.
I had moved to Germany at the end of the...
right?
Yes, at the end of the...
You were at the house.
Disease. At the end of the... You know, I was like, okay, this is going downhill. So I just gave up my apartment in Burbank. It was hard because it was such a palatial estate. Christine, you remember that one bedroom?
Oh, my gosh.
One bedroom. I'm sorry,
nightmare.
The place with the Murphy bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
I was like, how can I give all this up? What did my mom do that was so mean to you? Not that I don't believe it. I totally believe it.
Well, and it wasn't, it was not, it, all it was is she so clearly was not good enough for you. I was not good enough for you. And there was no reason for me to exist. That was the impression. It was just like, oh.
Now, wait a minute, Jackie. What would your mother have said about you and Hannes together? What would Nancy have said?
I'll tell you what Nancy said.
Like, yeah, what kind of romantic advice?
Because I told her about you, of course, right?
Yeah.
So the romantic advice, because the thing is Nancy has terrible romantic advice, right? She married a guy who had six kids that she didn't know about. He sprung on her. And then he said, yeah, I'm getting the kids back. And I'm sure he's, my father's the kind of guy who thinks he already told you the important thing.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's like, you know, the kids, Darla, Jackie, Philip, Scott, Russell, Terry. And so, and then she married him. And then.
The names of your siblings, by the way, are very humorous to me. I'm also the youngest of six. And the names of my siblings are right. Because we're like basically the same age.
Yep.
And it's, you know, Karen, Lisa, Lauren, Tracy, Scott. Like, it's just that era. That's
right.
What they were named, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
totally.
And now, obviously, the kids.
It'd be Ashton and Taylor.
Ashton and Madison.
Brick and Apple and piano.
Banjo.
Waffle.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you two were
So what'd you tell her about me? and my amazing sexual skills.
That's what, of course, the first thing that came up. Why wouldn't
I? Right, because I was obviously...
She was the one who, by the way, so didn't want a parent. She refused to show me how a tampon worked, and I tried to shove the entire thing, applicator included, up my person.
Wow.
And I was like, it hurts. I can't do it. And she was like, well, you're... doing something wrong. Just use pads.
This was Nancy?
Yeah, this was Nancy when I was 13.
Yeah.
So she had no interest in discussing sex at all with me. So,
I didn't get told anything either. That was very... And even with all my sisters, I didn't know that was going
to
happen.
Here's what you want to do. You want to take a tampon, take it in front of your daughter, and at least ruin one.
Yeah.
Spend
Could
a buck.
Could we not push it do through? It. Could just, we just push through the cotton? Let's just see this.
This is what it looks like when it ejects. This is the item that goes inside you. This item... does not all go inside.
Not the applicator.
No, not the applicator. Let's not
do that. I also, though, had that experience.
Found out in college.
As the youngest of six, I had the experience of I didn't get any sex talk at all. Mm. And I also had no talk about menstruation. Now, my sister, she got to go in the back bedroom with my mom one day. And
your oldest sister?
No, my next sister, the next one up, who's just 2 years older than me. She got to go in the bedroom. My mother got this box in the mail. It was like pink and flowers. It was a girl running across in a field. And then they talked about something. And that obviously was the menstruation talk. I did not have that talk. And when my period started, I did not know what was happening. So that's, I just have a daughter now, and I think that would be so different. But as the youngest of six, and that's the same as you, Jackie, then this was something that
happened.
They've
really given up by the time
frequently.
They get to six.
I mean, right.
They're like, fuck it. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
It's like, all right, you leave Saturday morning. You got to be back by 5 p.m.
Right.
And so I would go. I would take three buses to the Southdale Mall. That I could watch Southgate Mall, so that I could watch movies all day long, and then I'd take
a bus. That's really independent, though, to take buses by yourself.
We still need to know what you said. I don't care about any of this. What did you say to your mother about me? Because I've never heard this story before.
No, you have not, because I did, because we were dating, and I said, so I am doing stand-up comedy. She was like, yeah, I get that. You won't shut up. And so, second of all, I have a boyfriend. His name is Hannes Finney. And she was like, what the hell's his name? And
this is in Milwaukee. Do you understand how weird my name is that people in Milwaukee didn't know what the fuck Hannes meant?
Right. Hannes is like, does he call himself Hans? And I was like, he does not. He calls himself Hannes. And you can call him Hannes.
Hannes, yes.
And then you did, I think, get to meet her one time. And she said,
I remember that. We were at some restaurant somewhere.
And
right?
You will be happy to know that all she said about you is that you seem very sweet.
Okay,
oh, my gosh. That was it? This all came down to that Hannes is sweet?
Right, which means it could have been a done story about an hour ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew this. It's a good one, though.
Yeah, but considering that she didn't want to bother to teach you about anything in life, I'm taking that as a pretty big compliment.
That is a huge compliment because she wanted nothing to do with my life.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that my mom was...
Was less than polite, but that doesn't mean...
She was polite, but she was German, and polite is nice.
That's what I said.
Probably her being effusive to you.
Right, and your mom was doing the best she could.
You are not a horrible person. It's like, okay. Oh, thank you.
Jackie, you're married now. You're happily married.
Indeed. It's all working out.
It is all working out. The time is going quickly. Let me ask you, he enjoys the dorkdom... as much as you do.
More so. He has his own... He's a game designer. He makes video games for a living, and he just made a board game.
It's like you were on The Bachelorette, and you found the perfect man.
Right. We did the internet, which I only recommend to everyone.
And
I just realized every network should have its own Bachelorette. Sci-fi Bachelorette channel.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be perfect. And then you have another one. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Onion.
On The Onion. That's interesting. Somebody else told me to do that.
That's funny. I didn't know that. It was The Onion.
Yeah, but he
dating?
Was on Nerve. It was part of a large umbrella free thing through the LA Weekly.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. And I thought it's because Salon was part of it and the LA Weekly was part of it. I would do a free one. Here's what I love about online dating is that because I'm not good in bars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Like when I would meet Guy Comics, I didn't know if we were because I treat everybody like people.
Right.
Right. And then all of a sudden we're having a talk and I have another friend. And there was so like 20 years of this, 17 years of me not having a boyfriend and then having to get laid every couple of months.
By who?
Because I had been satisfied by Honest Finney for a year and a half. And I had to
the bar's pretty high.
You should make that your ringtone. I was satisfied by Honest Finney.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that might be a soundbite right there.
Yes.
So this is your romantic advice.
Wait, I want to know which of the employees did you sketch have sex with? Were they comics or were they like the bartender at the
comics?
Club?
I only had crushes on. I never. There was a woman that I did open mic with in Minneapolis who, an open mic woman, slept with a sound guy. And I was like, what? Where do you think you're going with this? Because she genuinely thought he would get her more time on stage.
Oh, that's like, why you shot a sound guy before. Hilarious.
That's funny.
That doesn't make any sense. Because it's, and...
Well, when people
Sean
like the lump show business.
He's like, wait, sound guys don't get laid? What?
And
just
people
threw
lump
his head
show
down,
business
down in disgust.
Together. It's a big business. There's many different facets.
Sure.
Because you might be good on one side doesn't mean you have anything to do with the other side.
Right.
It's complicated, though, for people, especially in the Midwest.
And the thing
when you
is,
don't know.
Is comics. Don't I mean I think more now than ever before comics are sleeping with each other because there's more women comics at the open mics level.
Interesting.
So they tend to date more.
That's interesting. Yeah, because there was plenty of sex, but you're right, the pool of women was very small,
especially in Madison, Wisconsin in 1984.
Yeah,
I was the only woman comic.
So your romantic advice though now, you would say, because you know I'm
could you imagine if I had picked Eric Elver?
Give me some advice. What is your advice? I guess it depends on the person. In other words, like my advice to anybody under the age of 35 is wait. You know, just hold off. Because all those people, all your friends that are in their 20s and they're all having weddings and they're planning parties and they're registering for, you know, for soup tureens. And the problem there is that
all those people do that.
They're doing that for the first time. In other words, they're all going to go through – they're all going to be divorced in 10 years. So in your 20s, if you could possibly hold on. Like that's really the only advice.
And
I'm
advice
not getting
you
married. Is don't get married until you're at least 32, 33, 35.
Wow. I don't say that. I say it's all individual. But then I know several people that have been married since they were like 22 and are still married. You know? That's and so
– freaks.
TJ Ford. She's my roommate
Ford?
In college.
No.
Anyway, so she's
okay.
Just
so what's your romantic advice
years.
Then? It's the person.
Well, it's entirely the person. What I love about online dating is because everyone knows that they're looking for someone to date. That is very, very important because you meet a lot of people in life. At least when you go to the coffee shop finally to meet the dude or the woman, you can go, "Oh, would I date this person?"
Right. In other words, you can turn your attention to the task at hand. You know who you're talking to.
Yeah, because there's not. Yeah. Otherwise, when you're just talking to some comic for 3 days in
you're like,
Boise,
I wonder,
you're like just talking to them, and they're like,
married?
They might be thinking, "I want to date this person," and you're not thinking that at all.
Are they
so
interested?
You're both on the same page with the online dating.
Okay,
at the very
so that's
least,
good.
You're on the same page, right? The second thing is you do a list of things that you like and don't like, right?
Right.
Like, I believe, and what I would recommend with your profile is, because my profile was hilarious, I had some friends go, "Why don't you tone it down? Why don't you bring down the hilarity, a little more sincerity?"
Really?
And so you can do funny, but try to be real. As, you know,
yeah,
keep
the username
well.
Is – I got real hung up on that. Like I can't even get past that page because I'm laughing my ass off. I have no idea. So what I started doing is putting in all sorts of different usernames like – ball licker. And then it would say, that name is acceptable. And then I would take a picture of it, send it to my friend Carolyn.
Okay.
See, I'm not very
we
good.
Would both laugh.
Yeah.
And then she'd send
and
it back. And then we would just laugh again.
We will not be doing this.
So I would do this for an hour, and then I got nowhere because I just start laughing.
If your username is ball licker,
right.
You're not looking for a boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. So, in other words, but I can't get past
poor
making a joke about
69.
That. Like, I don't even know how to get past not making a joke.
Right. That's because possibly you're not ready to
I'm
date.
Not ready. That's probably it. God damn it.
You might be ready to get laid, though. Ball
yeah,
licker
maybe
will get you laid.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure.
Ladies
pretty
and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
Christine Blackburn might be available for a tune-up if gentlemen are available.
Oh, my God. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Of course I do.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
My topic is faith. I was raised in the Armenian church, which is a very old Orthodox church, apostolic, and it is Christian, of course. That's one of your main things when you have a church. It's usually Christian, and it's not a mosque. It's not a temple. It's a church. And so the Armenian church, blessedly in Armenian, all the 3 hours, the thing is 3 hours long, and I would go every Sunday. I would teach Sunday school in the morning, and then I would be in the choir, the chorus. I would be in the choir. And the greatest thing about the Armenian church is that it's all in Armenian, so you have no idea what they believe. And one of the greatest things about it was that so I believed that it was be like the nice man in the picture and go get your dad some coffee. That was the tenet of Christianity that I still follow to this very day. Be like the nice man in the picture. Go get your dad some coffee.
A perfect one-minute story. You nailed it.
Nailed it.
Is interesting that you grew up in the Armenian faith. Can you even recognize the alphabet? Because it's symbols, isn't it?
Especially here in Los Angeles, which are crawling with Armenians. Literally crawling.
Literally.
I would never say such a thing.
Some of my best friends are Armenian.
Good Lord.
Some of my best friends are Armenian.
Yeah.
What I like is when somebody sees my ID and then they go, "You don't look Armenian," in that tone of voice that says, "You seem nice."
Now, do you remember
meeting...
You don't
have a mustache.
Yeah. Jackie
Why
Cation,
are you being polite to me?
Do you remember, this is about 15, 17 years ago, you came to my traffic school to do a set. You know,
Sure.
And you met
I think it was right after my first DUI or second DUI. I forget.
No, I would teach traffic school. It was improv traffic school. And then I would give sets to
Listen, you can listen to this shit or my friends can do comedy. And
it's 8 hours in this strip mall, so.
So I would let my friends come in and do comedy.
You could do a work in 20 minutes. Is that good?
One time, Jackie.
Real clock eater.
Well, yeah. And so one time, Jackie, you came. My father was visiting, and you and my dad were talking, and my dad said, "Cation, that's interesting." And then you said to him, "You want to buy a fucking rug?"
Because I'm constantly swearing.
My dad laughed so hard. He still mentions that. He's 80 years old. He still brings up that joke.
Right.
Or I think he said, "What is Cation?" You said Turkish.
I said Armenian.
Armenian. You want to buy a fucking rug.
Yeah. I never say Turkish.
You know why?
Because my grandparents were chased by the Turks across Lebanon.
Right.
And
did they get caught or they were just
they
chased?
They did get caught, sadly.
Now, genocide.
Why do they focus on the chasing part? Why don't you say they were caught by the
Turks? They were marched. How about
that? Genocide.
Marched.
There we go.
1912? When was that?
1915.
And so the 100 year is coming up next year. 100 or 2 years.
Right.
That's huge.
And if the Turks would admit it, we could go through the healing process.
And it was how many millions of people? 1.5 million people.
1.5 million people. 3 million on the outside. But
every Armenian person you knows somebody who has a relative that was affected by that.
I should imagine.
Yeah, no,
What did your father say about this? Because I remember a quote from your father about the Armenian genocide. Something about your grandmother. Like he didn't care about the genocide because...
Oh, well, it was this whole... The funniest thing my father's ever said about the genocide was that because in 1933 or 34, the Armenian church split. And there was a... Because it was part of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an Armenian faction that wanted to rebel against the Soviet Union and become its own nation. And then there was everyone else who was like, "Yeah, but we live in Wisconsin now."
Wow.
And my father was part of the "we live in Wisconsin now" contingency. And he always said, "What are we going to do, move back, become shepherds? What do you think is going to happen?" That was my father's advice about the Armenian political situation, which is very much like the Israeli political situation, where I don't have an opinion. I don't understand why American Jews will have an opinion about Israel, because
they would never move there.
Because they're not moving there. No one's. I mean, they might visit because the hummus is lovely. I'm told the hummus is lovely.
Well, I understand a lot of people that live in Tel Aviv, but that's a very cosmopolitan city.
No, I have friends who've been and who live, but you're just like, my plate is full apologizing for the United States as foreign.
Right, I understand.
I don't have time to take on the Armenian Azerbaijan
situation. Aren't you going to apologize for the Lone Ranger?
I'm willing to apologize for Johnny Depp's work, only if the French will.
Hey, listen, you guys, we got to wrap this up, but Jackie, I want to congratulate you in your career, first of all.
It's plugging right along.
Well, things are really happening. No, listen, you're an author now. You travel extensively. You're on television. Conan O'Brien, that was huge.
That was a big deal.
Well,
I was
really
never even on the
you.
Craig Kilborn show back in the 12th century. It was my first late night set, the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah,
is that
great?
Right?
That's awesome.
Yep.
And now, how did you get hooked up to...
Who books that?
Yeah, who do you blow?
No,
yeah.
Oh, my the books in that gosh.
Room. No, I mean, like, through, it had to be, like, through, you went through a process of auditioning for them.
But get this. I spent a year talking to the Letterman people.
Yeah.
And they liked one three-minute bit, and they could not pull the trigger on another minute and a half. I sent them 11
gosh.
Other minutes.
That is unbelievable.
And they couldn't pick another minute and a half.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I sent the 14 minutes to Conan without picking the 4.5 minutes. He gave me a date.
Wow. That's great. What about Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, he said that the animal bit was too dark.
Interesting.
Which is interesting since Craig Ferguson is the darkest
he lives
of all
in my
shows.
Yeah, he lives in my neighborhood. Maybe I'll drop a word to him when I see him out walking.
You should tell him to book you.
Maybe you drop
That's
a digit on you.
That's what I'll do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up. What is wrong
Thank
with
you
I was
for
actually,
having me.
It's so funny. I was going to say you could drop a digit on him. By the time it came out of my mouth, it turned into him abusing you. But he is on TV, and you look in a date.
Was it a fingering joke? Did I miss something?
All right,
yeah,
you guys.
I don't know. It came out of nowhere. Wait, I just want to know where the 14 minutes, like where was that taped?
Oh, I opened for Dennis Miller. I audio taped it, and then get this, I just took still pictures of my because I could not get a tape, right?
Yeah,
you know
that's
how
cool.
You can't get
you
a
took
tape.
Yeah, you took
still
good
pictures.
Photos
I put
and
it
put
on
it underneath.
YouTube,
good for you.
And I just was like, this is what I look like, and these are what the jokes sound like. Is this anything?
Good for
and
you.
And then the guy.
That's awesome.
It isn't. It's not. It's a thing that no one ever thinks of doing just because they always tell you they want video.
Right.
And you're like, well,
right, but you're not doing anything. You're not juggling.
Right. You're just standing there. And you're like, well, how do you look on camera? And I was like, well, here are some photographs of
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Well, listen, when there's a will, there's a way. And I do find that in Hollywood over the last 20 years is it's like, if you want to do something, then you'll find a way and you're going to make it happen. And you can do it now.
It's a very Los Angeles thing.
It's on a consumer level, though. But you're able to.
No, right. And the people that you're trying to get this information to and make these decisions, they're just schmucks like you.
Yeah, that's
they're
really. Just,
they're working. They're
that's
working
really
stiffs like
what it,
yeah, they're
what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't like the guy who's the gatekeeper for any of these shows is not the most brilliant comedy mind in the world.
Except for Roddy Swear Engine with Sideshow Network. All right, happy anniversary, by the way, Hannes.
Happy anniversary. You
all
know,
right.
I think it's good that we celebrate the anniversary with an old friend and that we have celebrated this anniversary by just doing a show.
That's right. And I believe
and
Jackie is the this is the third time she's been on.
Second
time?
I did one live show that you guys did. It was just a storytelling show.
That's right. Okay. All right. Excellent.
Second time I've been sitting with a microphone in my...
Excellent. Well, thank you, really.
In our new digs here at the Sideshow
That's
Network.
That's right.
Look at all this professionalism, huh?
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up. I'd like to thank Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network for helping us out today. I'd also like to thank Jorge Reyes and, of course, John Thomas Griffith for writing our theme song.
Never heard of him.
And on behalf of our storyteller today, Jackie Cation. And
thanks for having me.
Of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.